Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think we have worked out our little problem here. The one and only, going for this again, Mr. Robbie Riss. Robbie, can you hear me?
Hey, we did it. Yes. Hello.
Hello, and how are you doing today?
Fine. You know, just waiting to talk to you guys, and then this is the sort of glamorous life I lead, and then I have dishes I have to do.
Oh, yeah. We lead the same glamorous lifestyle.
Yeah. That, you know, entertainment. You know, it's all caviar wishes, champagne dreams, whatever. Yeah.
Mhm. And Dawn, you know, castaways. to you know, reintroduce Robbie Riss here. He is most famous for his role as Cousin Oliver from the Brady Bunch and also making appearances in Iron Eagle and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle 3. So, welcome.
Well, actually, 1, 2, and 3.
1, 2, and 3. Which one were
yes,
you?
I'm the only. I was the voice of Michelangelo. I'm the only one who did voices in all three of the movies.
Awesome.
I can't turn
awesome.
That. I mean, it's a ridiculous bit of trivia, but I can't really turn it into any kind of money or anything.
Yeah, but you know what? When my oldest son was younger, though, he used to like the, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So.
Oh, it's
yeah.
huge. It's still huge. It's. I just did a convention over the week. I just did a convention over the weekend in Kentucky. And so many people came out that are, you know, fans of this thing. And it's become this thing where, you know, that if you saw it when you were a kid, you get to a certain age and you have a kid, you know, it's like, oh, I got to show you this. It's become this sort of generational rite of passage thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, since this is an anti-bully radio show, Mr. Robbie, my first question is, you know, growing up as a child star, actor, okay, here's a question many of us would like to know. Do child actors get bullied?
Oh, of course. Any, for whatever reason, I think any kid who, if, you know, I have German parents, and Germans have a very colorful way with their language. You know, like in America, we say, give them an inch, they'll take a mile. The German translation is, offer your hand, they will take your arm. So my dad once told me, after I'd, you know, gotten some crap from some people, he said, the deal is, if your head sticks far enough above a crowd, somebody's going to want to come along and cut it off. Once again, very German, very like, you know, Jesus, wow, you know, sort of heavy imagery for a 9-year-old. But I think if you're a mathlete, if you're just awkward, which makes you stick out of the crowd, if you're sort of what this word has a lot of meanings, but if you're exceptional in any way, you run the risk of getting hassled by people who either don't understand or are jealous.
Mm.
Because usually I would say bullying comes from not so much the victim, but it's a problem in the bullier.
Right.
They're trying to work something out. And they are most definitely have not gotten there yet.
Right. You know, 8 out of 10 kids, you know, that go through school, middle school and high school, well, those who become the bully used to be bullied themselves. And
well, it comes from home. You know, that kind of stuff, that sort of behavior, anything like that, any of that sort of, well, I mean, both negative and positive behavior stems from who you spend the most time with. And, you know, when you're a kid, that just happens to be parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
wow.
Or, you know, maybe a brother or sister or something. But yeah. But, you know, and also, you know, I say this all of the time. Baby everything is cute because if baby everything wasn't cute, we would want to kill them because baby everything is kind of mean and kind of selfish, and so that they're cute so we don't strangle them.
Mm-hmm. when you were playing your part as Cousin Oliver, first of all, I remember watching you, even though it's been such a long time since I even actually seen the Brady Bunch, but you know, growing up, that was it. Playing this part, you know, as a child, okay. Do you remember? Was there any like bullying on set?
Oh no, not at all.
No. Awesome.
There's been very little of that. You know, I mean. You know, there's been tiffs and things like that, although I never really had any on that show. But, you know, there's been, you know, on-set tiffs with people. But as far as actual bullying goes, nah, not really.
Okay.
I think because there's so many – first off, there's so many adults around. And secondly, I think, you know, your job on a set – is to pay attention. And, you know, if you're busy pushing somebody around, you're going to get yelled at anyway. So it's sort of a, you know, it's sort of a nice, you know, anti, you know, anti-bullying environment.
Mm-hmm.
At least that was my experience. You know, it depends on who you talk to, I guess.
Right. Okay. As per Stephen Lewis, which that's how we connected through.
Mm-hmm.
He helps me out with the bully effect and such.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote this little saying up, you know, for the show to introduce you. America has debated for 4 decades on what killed the Brady Bunch. So, what killed the Brady Bunch?
The producers did. The Schwartz family did. They wanted to go out on top, and they did. So they said, you know, rather than this thing, you know, get all awful, why don't we, you know, I mean, it was still a top 10 show when it went off the air. You know, my big disappointment is that it, like, one of my favorite things in the world is final episodes of TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
And the Brady Bunch never got one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, if you want to talk about, you know, aesthetically or whatever, you know, I mean, we can talk about the whole jump the shark idea, but if we're going into that territory, the character, the Oliver character, did not end that show. It was the it was probably just after Hawaii.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, you know, that's sort of where things start going, what? You know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I remember that episode, too. Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the crazy thing about that show, of course, is that it's been on pretty much every day in America since the late 70s, early 80s. Once that thing went into syndication, I don't think it's ever been off the air. I say this a lot. You know, there's been a lot of shows that have been on the air since 1974, and you could probably count, you know, on both hands the amount of shows that we're still talking about all this time later.
Right. I can name one being the Brady Bunch, and the other one being I Love Lucy.
I Love Lucy, totally. You know, we could argue maybe the Honeymooners. But, yeah, I mean, Brady Bunch, it's just that we're still talking about this thing. And I mean, I'm grateful for it. I think it's awesome. And I kind of know why. I mean, it's, you know, the moral lessons that show teaches are really universal. So, you know, I mean, it's been a hit in other countries, too. And I think it points to the fact that the Schwartzes really understood that this thing of, you know, if you have a nifty moral, episode ender, that stuff never goes out of style. You know, don't lie. Don't steal. Don't do anything that makes you look stupid.
Right. And I think when Stephen told me about you, and Cousin Oliver, huh? And I'm like, you know, the kids today, no wonder they still play the Brady Bunch over and over and over again. Because, you know, back in our day, quote, you know, we grew up with these morals, okay? And that plays a lot into the role of bullying or being the victim of a bully. You said it right there. Morals. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, I mean, look, okay. Why? This is going to sound insane, but the question I guess we could really say about all of this is, why are there religions? All religions basically teach the same thing. All religions basically teach some version of the Ten Commandments. Don't steal, don't lie, you know, don't, if the police come looking for your neighbor, don't make stuff up, whatever. You know, basically, it's rules for leading for leading a moral life. Okay, the question is, though, why lead a moral life? Who cares? And the truth of the matter is that some smart monkey figured out a bunch of thousands of years ago that if you drop one human off in the desert, that human will die. If you drop two humans in the desert, their chances for survival go up exponentially, if only that one can eat the other one. If you have three humans, even more so, four, five, like with each human you add into that pool, the stronger the unit becomes. So now you have a tribe of humans, say there's 100 of them, a couple of them hunt, a couple of them watch the kids, a couple of them are farming, a couple of them are trying to invent the wheel, you know, blow guns, whatever it is, you know, that they're in. But the thing is, in that 100 strong group of people, if you have somebody that steals or lies or murders, it could very well endanger the life of the tribe itself. So they came up with this set of rules. And those rules still apply today. And I think the problem is, or maybe what we should do is toss out all the stupid hats and the pajamas and the tchotchkes and all the stuff that smells good and just teach the rules, which is don't steal anything from somebody. Well, why should I not steal anything from somebody? Because if you do, you can't be part of the group. Well, why should I care if I'm not part of the group? Because if you're part of the group, really bad things might happen to you. Because if you cannot be trusted, it's all about us being able to trust each other. And if you can't be trusted, you can't be part of the group. And so these, I think part of this whole bullying thing is it's a lack of knowledge of the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying necessarily to be religious, because I really don't believe in any of that. But I do believe in the rules.
Right, right. And it all comes down to the morals. Now, do you believe that, you know, as you're a parent?
Are you
so
kidding?
You,
I'm too mature.
Your,
it's just impossible.
Your,
you know, the kid would be the grown-up, you know. What were you saying then?
Okay, I have three myself. But is it true? Would you agree that, you know, everything should start in the house and we shouldn't, like, throw it all to the teachers to take care of? We should be our
everything. Everything does. Everything does start in the house, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yes.
I don't have kids, but I have a lot of friends who do, and you know, the onus also is never on the kid. See, it's not the kid's job to emotionally or intellectually grok all of this information because they're kids. So it is. You know, I'm a real liberal thinking guy. One would say borderline communist, but one of the conservative things that I think is that as if you're going to have a kid, you should have to take a test. If you fail the test, you can still have the kid. But if things go wonky somewhere before their 18th birthday, you personally are on the hook for it. Because I think too many parents, I have a fair amount of friends who are school teachers. One dude I know was a eighth grade science teacher. And he told me that some parents, they slow down to almost 35 miles an hour before they kick the kid out of the car and keep driving. You know, I mean, kids want to be paid attention to. They want to be nurtured. They want to be led. You know, they're
right.
Just like, they're like dogs, only, you know, they sort of get past a certain part of the intellectual agility thing that dogs don't. At least, hopefully,
right.
They do.
Okay.
So it's all about the basic rules of society, which are not taught. You do not take from other people. You do not hurt other people. You do not tell untrue things about other people. And if you do that, if you do those things, I think largely you'll lead a trouble-free life also. I mean, look you know, in the things that are happening in, like, Ferguson, you know, I mean, these are like young kids. You know, I never thought for a second when I was a young kid that I would ever have to use a weapon to end somebody else's life. So that means that those kids are so scared that that is their choice of action. That is their recourse. And, I mean, it's heartbreaking. And we're all talking about the same thing here. We're all talking about just nobody knows the damn rules anymore.
Mm-hmm. If there, I'm sure there are some kids listening to this show, for we have a lot of teenagers, you know, who are listeners. If somebody is being bullied right now, what advice would you give to them?
I'd tell the nearest adult. I don't care how, or how about this? Whoever the nearest adult is that you trust and respect, and it doesn't have to be a parent, it can be just somebody you trust and respect, that, you know, because not all parents are going to, you know, there's parents out there that are like, oh, you're getting bullied? Well, suck it up. You know, mm-hmm. that is bad conflict resolution skills. And
that
so tell somebody you respect and admire, and just ask them what would they do in this case.
Yeah.
And, you know, fighting, okay. the thing about violence is violence, if your solution is revenge, violence only causes more violence. This is something that I don't understand why our culture and many cultures on the planet have not figured this one out yet. We got to the moon, but we can't figure that out, that if you're violent with someone, that's only going to cause more violence down the line. And sometimes it just makes me want to – it's like, I know there are people on this planet that don't love their fellow man, and I hate people like that, you know.
Right. Right. What advice would you give to the bully?
Say that again?
What advice would you give to the bully?
Get some help. Go see a therapist, because if that's your idea of conflict resolution, then you've got a problem. And mm-hmm. and the longer you do this, it's going to come back and bite you in the ass, because that's the thing about violence. Again, it comes around back to you. What you throw out to the universe comes back to you. So it's unfortunate, like you said, a lot of this bully stuff comes from, you know, somewhere in their home. You know, there's a bullying parent probably, or a bullying sibling. And the problem, you know, the problem with getting at that issue is that if you grow up where every morning, the minute you wake up, someone walks past you and slaps you in the head, you're going to go around thinking that everybody lives that way. And, you know, thankfully, most people don't. But that's that sort of thing, you know, I think in bullying households, in most cases, it's a total psychological thing. If it's what you see every day, it's what you think it is. So these kids that are getting bullied at home are taking it to school and doing it themselves. I mean, you know, why else would a kid go to school with a gun? It just seems... The only reason for, again, violence only causes more violence. The only reason to carry a gun for any reason is that you're terrified. This is one of those things I say about NRA members. Like, gun fanatics like that, they don't live in freedom. They live in fear. The only reason to carry a gun out in public for any reason is that you're terrified that something bad is going to happen to you. And that seems like a really sad way to live.
Mm. Well, Mr. Robbie-Rist, I am so sorry we had some technical difficulties at the beginning of this episode, and we
are
winding things down. I want to thank you so much for taking some time here on The Bully Effect. And everybody stay tuned for tomorrow. Topic, transgender. Guest, Alexander Reese. And we're going to hear his story. Again, Mr. Robbie-Rist, thank you for being a part of the show.
Sure.
And thank you for being a voice. Until tomorrow, Till tomorrow, everybody, don't be a victim. Be a voice and let your voice be heard around the world.